a tasting menu of corporate profits. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Let's start with a report from the land of quarterly profits and losses. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams is here with some highlights now that we're in the center of quarterly earnings season. Hi, Kimberly.
Good morning, David.
Starting with Yahoo.
Yeah, so Yahoo quarterly revenue was up about 22%. That's better than analysts expected ahead of the Verizon sale. And amid all that hacking drama, it's worth noting that this is going to be the last earnings report for Yahoo after 21 years as a publicly traded company. That sale to Verizon is expected to close in June.
I was also watching chip maker IBM falling in after-hours trading after the results came out. What happened yesterday?
So this is its first time missing revenue projections in about a year. Overall, revenue declined almost 3% after the company failed to close some key deals. You know, IBM is facing continuing declines in its legacy hardware and software sales. It's been shifting its emphasis to the cloud, artificial intelligence like Watson, but revenues have been down at IBM for 20 consecutive quarters.
All right, let's also talk about VW. Fines, fees, legal cases with that emissions scandal. But their report out today suggests Volkswagen's doing better.
Quite well, actually. 28% jump in profit this quarter. Volkswagen has some new models that are doing well, as well as steady performance of existing brands. I mean, Volkswagen is continuing its comeback. It overtook Toyota last year as the world's biggest car maker.
Kimberly, thank you. Let's do the numbers. The Dow future is up 0.1%, 26 points. S&P and NASDAQ futures are up 0.3%. But the FTSE in London is down sharply again today, minus 2.8%. It's the soaring pound sterling after the new general election was triggered. New York City employers will no longer be allowed to ask job candidates about their current or past pay levels. Mayor Bill de Blasio is set to sign that law today. Marketplace's Annie Baxter has more.
In just about every occupation, men are paid more than women, according to Elise Gould, senior economist with the Economic Policy Institute.
If you control for amount of experience, you still see that there is a gap.
And if a woman or minority feels underpaid in one job, they don't want the next employer to base their new pay on their past. That's the idea driving initiatives like the one in New York City.
That might lessen some of the pay disparities that existed historically for that person.
Similar bans are in place in Massachusetts and Philadelphia and are under consideration elsewhere, including Washington State. Mike Droke is a partner with the law firm Dorsey & Whitney in Seattle. He says salary history inquiries may dampen an applicant's wage potential, but they allow employers to gauge the going rate for workers without conducting costly salary surveys.
They want to know that they're not overpaying for a particular position.
Still, he expects an increase in state and local regulations on this front in coming years. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
The National League of Cities recently issued a report trying to come to grips with an estimate that within two decades, nearly half the jobs in this country could be at risk due to automation and artificial intelligence. Let me quote, "While the benefits of the new economy may largely accrue in cities, they will also likely be the epicenters of potential tensions and upheavals associated with automation." Pittsburgh is one city trying to come out on the right side of this. Uber has a big robot car development center there. There's Carnegie Mellon as well. As part of our robot-proof jobs project here this month, let's focus here on technology and economic inequality. Erica Barris reports from Pittsburgh.
People still call Pittsburgh the steel city, but the leadership here?
Yes, I'm Bill Peduto, the mayor of Roboburg. So.
Peduto was speaking at the first meeting of the Advanced Robotics for Manufacturing Institute last week. This group, including Boeing, Walmart, and other big companies, plans on reimagining American manufacturing using robotics. Greg Huttis with the Department of Defense was there, too. The DOD is bankrolling this effort to the tune of $80 million.
To actually generate almost a new workforce in this area.
They see a future of robots and people happily working side by side. Think a machinist with robot assistants and a growing profession of skilled workers who can keep those assistants running.
We feel that the ideal thing is a collaboration between the two.
Mayor Bill Peduto is all for the whole man-machine thing, but he doesn't have the luxury of relying on ideals.
We can't wait and see what happens. We have to work proactively as it's happening to make sure that there are opportunities and benefits that are there for everyone.
Over the next couple years, Pittsburgh plans on improving its infrastructure to accommodate these companies of the future so they can use the city as its factory floor. Laura Meixel is with the city's Department of Innovation and Performance.
Thereby, we have the leverage to say that we want it to be done in the following ways that take equality into mind.
People here have heard this before and know the pitfalls of investing so heavily in one industry. When steel collapsed, the city went with it. With all this talk of Pittsburgh being the proving ground of automation, workers are worried because things are already tough.
Service jobs that pay minimum wage, they're not livable. And you got to work two or three of them.
That's Tom Conroy. He's a bus driver.
I haul those people around on the bus every day between job to job to job.
And like his passengers, he too has another job as a hairstylist. He's retiring soon, but wonders what will happen to younger drivers.
I look at them and I think, is this going to be a 25-year career for you? Or are you going to be tossed out by technology in the future?
That future may already be here. Some of those bus drivers also drive for Uber. In Pittsburgh, I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
I'm doing a Facebook Live with our friends at Business Insider today about ways humans can come out ahead with so much technology getting hired. 2 o'clock Eastern time today. I picked out a nice shirt for it. More details at marketplace.org. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. Our engineer is Ben Tolliday. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.